Hello and welcome to Kind to Your Mind, the series talking about mental and physical well-being during the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Ian Brannan, and with me in this episode is the Director of Public Health for Liverpool, Matt Ashton. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much.
Now, obviously, very, very busy time for you. Can you tell us about how public health and local authorities are dealing with the coronavirus response, which is obviously something that at the start of the year you weren't expecting to have to deal with, but now firmly it's in your hands?
It is, and increasingly so. It's all down to us, directors of public health, to solve the very difficult issue that is COVID-19. So, well, I think public health teams up and down the country will be doing a range of activities to try and support their communities around COVID. And the big one at the moment, obviously, is test and trace, and making sure that we are supporting our local communities to get tested if they've got symptoms of coronavirus, and that the appropriate action then happens if they turn out to be positive as a result of that test. So that's helping people to self-isolate for a period of time and helping other people who are not positive to not spread, not catch the infection when they're out and about, and stop the spread of the virus that way.
And the rules are always changing as well, aren't they? I mean, how has that made things a little bit more difficult, in that the virus clearly is unknown to all people, all manner of scientists, but for you to try and implement the safety aspect of that, it must be very, very difficult when the goalposts are always moving.
Yeah, pandemics are not new. We see pandemics actually relatively frequently, but this is the biggest pandemic we've seen for over 100 years, and this is a new virus. So we are all learning constantly about the shape of the pandemic, the virus itself, and how it moves about. So it's difficult, because that has meant that guidance has been updated regularly by our national government, and there has also been, I think, confusion about how that guidance has been interpreted in different places, and comparing what we're doing, for example, in England and the United Kingdom to what other parts of the world are doing. So it's been difficult. It's quite intensive to kind of translate that guidance, that national guidance, and put it out into our local communities. It's something we've had to work really, really hard with, for example, with our care home sectors, with social care, so they understand, the actions they can be taking to minimise risk for their residents. So yeah, pretty full on, to be honest.
Now, in this series of the Kind to Your Mind podcast, we're looking to support people who've been impacted by coronavirus, COVID-19, in this outbreak, and really how it's affected their mental health and their general well-being during this difficult time. The pandemic obviously brought us plenty of stress and pressure and uncertainty for many people. Have you felt this personally as well?
I think all of us have been affected by the pandemic, haven't we? I mean, it's uncertain times. It's affected us all in many different ways, and it's hard to ignore. So, if you've had to be home working, for example, or more intensively homeschooling your children, or just even the fact that COVID-19 has been on the news all day, every day, it brings a certain pressure to us. Our lives have changed and will continue to be changed for some time to go, and that absolutely brings it the stresses and strains that perhaps we otherwise wouldn't be expecting. And I'm no different from anybody else. I've definitely felt that pressure.
One of the things that we've covered in this series is mental resilience. And is there a situation that you can think of where really you had to hold your nerve and be resilient? And how did that feel?
Well, one of the biggest things for me was starting this job, my Director of Public Health in Liverpool job, which I started on the 1st of April. Now, I'd previously been a Director of Public Health in other parts of Merseyside. So I wasn't new to the role, but I was definitely new to this council. And I started on the 1st of April, which was the week after we went into lockdown. So I have basically, for the first couple of months, I was working from home with people who I didn't really know and had never physically met. So that was pretty challenging. I mean, you have to kind of roll your sleeves up and get on with it and work out who people are, who you're best to speak to, and make those connections. But it was certainly an added complication for me.
Yeah, I imagine it's. And at the time when you applied for the job, did you know about the pandemic then? Because obviously it might have been a few months before you took up the post.
Yeah, no, not at all. So I actually applied for the job in November last year, got it in December, but had to work 3 months notice with my previous employer. And obviously by the time we got to January, we started to get, a sniff that a pandemic was possible. And by the time we got to kind of February, March, it became a very real possibility, obviously. So no, it wasn't known when I got the job and started right in the middle of it. So very difficult. I mean, it's also, I can't think of a better time to actually have become a director of public health and local authority, because suddenly everybody wants to speak to me, which is good. So it hasn't been too hard making those connections. It's just doing it in a very, very different way. And everybody wants a piece of you as well.
And do you feel that you've learned something about yourself in this situation, that maybe now that if you can manage this, you can manage anything?
I don't know if I'd put it quite like that. I mean, I think, you know, I have good days and bad days, like most people will do. And certainly in April, I was working, you know, 12-hour days every single day, 7 days a week, right the way through. And, you know, that is very tiring. I still haven't actually had a holiday. I finish next week for a couple of weeks break with my family. And so, yeah, you know, you have to learn how to look after yourself and take care of yourself and still, you know, do the important things on a personal level. So spending time with your family, making sure your loved ones are in a good place as well. And it's kind of like pressure from all sides, probably. I think I've done all right over this period, but I also see other people who perhaps have struggled a little bit more. And I don't think, you know, as a society, our job is to look after people. So I don't think it's okay to go, well, I'm all right, even if somebody else isn't. You know, we all have that duty, don't we, to look out for everybody else.
And how did you manage the heightened way of working? Because it was very much in at the deep end for you there, if you've just started the job straight away as everything's locked down. I mean, how did you manage the stress of that and the change? And also, as you mentioned, they're supporting a team that you didn't even know at the time.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure there's a kind of a single answer to that. The way I've kind of done it is, you know, trying to get to know each of my public health team and my wider council colleagues on an individual basis. So taking time out to speak to everybody, to say hello to people, to ask them, you know, how they are and how I can help them, as well as, you know, gently pushing how they can help me. So that's kind of like the, you know, the work, the professional side. Making sure that I always say, you know, please and thank you for things. So using some of that kind of like basic manners to appreciate how hard everyone's working and their contributions to what we're trying to do. And then on the personal side, just trying to make sure that I'm always there for my wife and my children in the morning, you know, first thing in the morning and last thing at night, so I can give them a kiss and a cuddle and tell them I love them. And doing the same with you know, my mum and dad and my friends. So just, even though doing it in a slightly different way, just being able to connect with them over the internet and saying hiya, how you doing, you know, what's going down. It makes for a busy life. And I think, you know, we've all had a big change to the way we've been operating over the last 4 months. But this stuff is important. You know, connecting with people helps us feel like there's a degree of normality in an otherwise very up in the air world.
And I think one of the themes that's been in all of the episodes that we've had in this series is managing that work life balance, but particularly in the era of a pandemic and working in the health services, is having that cut off between what you have to deal with at work and what, you know, and living your normal life at home and sort of separating the two.
Completely agree. I'm not sure I've particularly got that balance right. I don't think, you know, I don't think that's possible really when you're the director of public health in a local area trying to run the response to COVID. I think work-life balance is pretty difficult, to be honest, but it is incredibly important. And so, you know, I've tried to do the normal things like taking the dog out, making sure we take the dog out for a walk in the morning, you know, just so you've got a bit of routine that allows you to be grounded somehow in a strange world.
Obviously, we're seeing restrictions relaxed now, and obviously not completely gone away, and there are plenty of restrictions coming in as well. What should people feel comfortable about doing, really, for the foreseeable, that maybe some people are, you know, isolating for a medical reason, and we understand that, but maybe there are some people who in their mind are maybe still a little bit scared to get out and maybe get back to any kind of normality? I mean, what sort of reassurance can you give?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I don't think we are getting over COVID. I think we are living with COVID, and I think life is different now from what it was, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. And I think people feel that. I think we all have to kind of almost do our own individual risk assessments and understand, you know, what we're comfortable with, what we're not comfortable with, and where that line is. And I think we need to follow that public health guidance about, look, there are bits that we can control on this, and that is that, you know, if we practice, you know, good hand hygiene, wash our hands frequently, if we are keeping our physical distance from people, so kind of, you know, 2 meters at all times, and using face coverings when we're not, then we are absolutely, you know, reducing the risk of us individually catching the virus from anybody. And I think there's a difference there, isn't there, between physical distance and emotional distance or emotional connectedness. So we can be physically distant from people, accept that it's a different way of the world, but still connect to people, still make sure we are talking to people, saying hello, asking how people are, and just try and deal with the fact that is a change from how life was previously.
I think it was in the very first episode of this series, actually, where we talked about that, and it's actually stayed with me that the phrase social distancing has become the overriding phrase, but actually that's not what it is. It's physical distancing, but we should still stay socially connected.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it is very difficult, because that is the term that's used nationally, and the last thing I want to do is confuse any more, you know, messages that people can hear. But I think we have to push the point that people need to emotionally connect, and, you know, connecting with people is a very good thing. Even if that doesn't mean, you know, being face to face or touching and hugging for the vast majority of us at the moment. And you know, there will be, you know, nuances within there. So we've got our family bubbles, haven't we? Our social bubbles that we're allowed to kind of, you know, mix with and be safe with. And that's good. That's really important as well. I think there's just more ways to connect to people than just being close to people, you know, face to face to people at the moment, and it's not what we're used to, but it is what we're going to have to do for a while yet.
And you're the director of public health for Liverpool, and you're dealing with a global pandemic, and it's your responsibility to certainly help sort it out on a local level. Quite a stressful job. Do you have any tips for people listening for coping with stress and anxiety, and the general mechanisms that you might do if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed?
Yeah, so 5 ways to well-being is incredibly important, and you know, the one that I do and that I rely on is connecting with people and making sure I'm able to speak to people, to download with people, so, you know, friends, families, loved ones, asking them how they are, and equally, you know, being asked how I am in return. So the connecting stuff's really important. Breathing sounds ridiculous, but, you know, being able to just kind of like turn off all the outside noise and just, you know, have a kind of a couple of moments of quiet contemplation where you're just practicing your breathing and taking a bit of time to relax yourself. Being outside, fresh air, a walk with the dog, a walk by yourself, listening to some music, or a walk with your family just helps me. Just kind of try and put things into context about what's going on all around us. And just, you know, just trying to take a bit of time for ourselves in what is a very busy and horrible situation at the moment. You know, just taking a bit of that personal time helps me, particularly to de-stress and get ready for whatever's happening the next day.
And obviously it's a stressful situation that we're in right now. Are there any positives that we can take from this? I mean, maybe people now are getting out a little bit more in terms of doing things, into maybe going walking more or cycling more, or maybe just reevaluating the lives in different ways. What are the positives you think that we can take from how we've been having to live over the past few months?
Yeah, there's certainly signs of some really good positive changes that society might have as a result of that. I think it's too early to say whether all of those will stick, you know, and how important or relevant they will be going forward, but it's great to see. And so some of those, as you've quite rightly said, is people being more physically active, people spending more time with loved ones, particularly with their families, perhaps, you know, understanding the value of some of our frontline workers a bit more, and that, you know, money isn't always the most important thing, the economy isn't always the most important thing, health and well-being is incredibly important, and as a society we need to look out for each other and look after each other a bit more. And I think, you know, that's really encouraging to see. I think, you know, I am also personally worried that, you know, inequalities will widen through this, so actually the people who are more able able to look after themselves will, and the people who are less able to won't, and therefore we might also have, or we're highly likely to have, an emerging inequalities crisis, and particularly around mental health as well, because it's the same if you've got the money and the support networks and you can connect with people and be mentally well, and if you haven't, then you can't. And so I think we have to, you know, hope for the best, but plan for the worst to a certain extent, and make sure we are putting in actions, activities, interventions that support our community to look after themselves best they can. And it won't be easy. But if we all kind of unite behind that common cause, then I think there is reason to be hopeful for improvements in the future.
A phrase, though, that's sort of been constant ever since maybe things started to improve in any way was this term second wave. Now, at the moment of recording this, the Prime Minister has sort of mooted that there might be that sort of situation occurring in Europe. I mean, how fearful are you of that within the health service in Liverpool?
Yeah, I think terminology is interesting, isn't it? Because people talk about a second wave. Some people also talk about continuation of the first wave. I mean, the virus technically hasn't gone away yet, and it's just whether it's still kind of like circulating in our communities, which it is, and has the ability to come back up the other side. We are certainly seeing a re-emergence in some parts of Europe, which is worrying, and actually in parts of the UK as well, we've seen increases. Am I worried about it? Yeah, absolutely. And I think the reality probably is that we're going to be in this situation for the next year or so, until hopefully a vaccine comes along and helps us out. And up until that time, we're going to be managing local outbreaks, local increases in cases, working closely with our communities so that we get that kind of change behaviour piece done, so that people are able to do that individual risk assessment and understand, you know, the implications of them being out and about. We all want and need to be out and about more. We just need to be safe when we're doing it.
There seems to be more information available now about the virus in terms of how it's spreading and how it's being managed. I mean, was that information perhaps too thin on the ground at the start, and people maybe reading too much online and making their own assumptions?
I think we've all learned rapidly through this, and certainly at a national level, national government level, and World Health Organization have all been learning right the way through this. It wasn't like the answers were on the back of a postcard. So the information is definitely getting better. I suspect there's still a hell of a lot of learning to do, frankly. And obviously that just makes it complicated, doesn't it? Because we have to respond to the most updated information and guidance that we've got, but know that it might emerge and change further. And you know, there are examples, aren't there, around, you know, face coverings, whether people should or shouldn't use face coverings, around self-isolation, whether we should be doing it for 7 days, 14 days, 10 days. You know, all these kind of messages which have changed over time helps add to the confusion. And that's difficult, but it is unfortunately where we are on it.
Obviously, restrictions are being lifted still, although, as you say, things are being managed on a much more local basis now. What have you, both in public health and through the local authority, been doing to support people? And what can people do to feel more relaxed now when they're out and about?
The standard public health messages that we've been using are around hand hygiene, social distancing, but, you know, keeping your distance and avoiding crowds and using face coverings when people feel like they're unable to do it. And I think it is very much about that. I think, you know, the virus is much more likely to transmit indoors than it is outdoors. So outdoors generally is a safer space. So people should, you know, feel more comfortable being outdoors, especially if they are not around other people when they're outdoors. So going for a walk in the park, going for a walk down the road or around the block is a good thing, and it helps keep us, you know, both physically and mentally active. But just doing that within the context of our own individual risk assessment, so not getting too close to people outside of our social bubble, avoiding crowds at all costs, and as I said, using face coverings when you feel like you're unable to do that. So in, you know, shops and supermarkets and public transport, all that kind of stuff, when we are inevitably closer to people who may or may not have the virus. I think it's hard, this, and it's easy for it to kind of get on top of us, that, you know, we start to get really worried about this stuff. And of course, you know, it is worrying because we are in a pandemic. It's worth saying that 80% of the cases, that 80% of people who catch the virus will end up with a mild case. But, you know, the 15%, the 5%, other people who catch it will be moderate or severely ill. So it has the potential to cause significantly harm. But I don't think we can live our life being completely worried to leave the front door. We just need to do it in a safe and controlled way.
Okay, and to round things up then, and people have been listening to this and probably will have taken some great insight from you and probably some reassurance, I would imagine, as well. But where can people go to get more information on Kind to Your Mind?
So we think Kind to Your Mind is a fantastic campaign. It provides kind of practical information and advice for people to help keep them safe, both mentally and physically, in what are quite difficult times now. So the Every Mind Matters campaign has a range of tips actually to help build resilience, including that bit about the important bit about kind of staying connected with people. And there's a website that's got all that information on it, and it's kindtoyourmind.org. There's also a well-being portal, which has got helpful applications and online courses that people can look at, which is ALMA, which is on the Kind to Your Mind website as well. So, I mean, I think I just really encourage people to go to the Kind to Your Mind website and have an explore, have a look around and find something on there that they value or that they want to explore further.
Thank you to Matt Ashton there for joining us on Kind to Your Mind. We always love hearing from you, so please leave us a comment and don't forget to hit subscribe and rate the podcast. This series is in conjunction with your local councils and the NHS in Cheshire and Merseyside. For more information, here's that website address again, kindtoyourmind.org, where you'll find lots of information and resources. And as Matt mentioned, there are tips from the Every Mind Matters campaign and ALMA, an online wellbeing portal for those living and working in Cheshire and Merseyside. Until next time on Kind to Your Mind, stay safe and goodbye.